So last week, I had a word for you, a verse, and I entitled my lessons, A Verse for an Overcomer, or Word for an Overcomer. That was part one. And today is part two, another word for an overcomer. And last week, we looked at a verse out of Isaiah 41:10. And we discussed that verse last week. Let me read it to you. That verse says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We took our whole time last week on that one verse. That's a verse from the Old Testament. A verse for an overcomer. It's a verse you need to know. And this week, we're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to have a verse out of Luke that I want us to look at together. Now, I would just say this is just my life verse out of the Bible. And I'm going to start in Matthew before I go to Luke, because I want to make a point. And by the way, I may not get finished with our lesson today, so if I don't, we'll just pick up next week. When time runs out, I'm going to stop, and we'll pick up next week, because I kept trying to cut stuff out, but I really didn't want to cut stuff out. I want us to get it. And so that means if I don't get through, you'll have to come back next week, right? I'm tricky like that. But I want to begin with a verse out of Matthew 6. And Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the first time that Jesus teaches in his ministry. He's coming out to teach. He's coming out to begin his ministry. He does it in the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to pull out, I really want to read more verses, but I don't have my, I was going to bring my phone up here. But never mind, I don't have to do that. The bottom line of what he was saying to the people there. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Look at the lilies. They don't work. Look at the birds. They don't build barns. And he's making all these points to his people sitting there on the hillside. And he's saying to them, don't be anxious. Don't worry. How can you add one thing to your life by worry? And the truth is, well, you can't. You can't add a single day to your life by being anxious and worrying about it. And so the bottom line of what he's saying is on your handout, verse 33. And this is just a verse I love personally because God spoke to me so powerfully through this verse as a young mom. Look at it. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And all those things mean everything pertaining to life. If you'll just learn to seek God, to seek his righteousness, then everything else is yours. You've got to get the cart first. Don't get the cart before the horses, that's what I'm saying. So many times we get the cart before the horses, don't we? We're so worried, we're so anxious, we're so fearful. But if we'll just learn to get our attention on God. Now, this is at the beginning of his very first ministry. And what you find as you study the New Testament is this Sermon on the Mount was his message during his whole ministry. For example, now we're going to go to Luke 12. And Luke 12 is at the very end of his ministry. He's in the area of Judea now. He's in a completely different region. But what we're going to hear him say in Luke 12 is almost identical to what he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. These verses are going to be very familiar to you. Now look at your scripture there, and I want you to go to verse 22 first. Look at that verse. I want you to underline in that verse these words. Do not worry. Underline those words. Do not worry. Now I want you to jump down to verse 29. And I want you to underline these words. Do not keep on worrying. Do not keep on worrying. Underline those words. And then jump down to verse 32 and underline these words. Do not be afraid. Being an overcomer means living a life that is free from worry, free from fear, free from anxiety. Now, Teresa, is that really a possibility? I'm telling you this morning that this is the gospel. This is part of the gospel message. This is what is offered to you as an overcomer in Christ. Now, let me ask you a question this morning, and you answer it in your heart, honestly. Do you experience stress? Do you experience anxiety? Do you struggle with fear? And the truth is, you and I live in a very stressed out, anxiety-filled, fearful generation. And I really get it. I really get why the world who is without Christ is worrying. It can be frightening living in our day, in our world, feeling all alone, not being able to know why you're here, not really understanding where you're going. In fact, I really do understand why people get on drugs. I do. I understand why they drink. They go on eating binges. They go on shopping binges. They go on wild adventures and all kinds of things that people do to fill their minds and their lives. And even though you and I are living in probably the most indulged society that's ever lived on the face of the earth, I mean, we have the most. Even though that's true, it seems that our generation is the most anxious, the most stressed out, and the most panicked culture that has ever lived. And the best the world can offer us is really just to manage our anxiety. And if you go to a doctor with anxiety, he'll most likely put you on medication to help you. But here in the Gospel of Luke, and in the Gospel of Matthew, and all throughout the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is offering, this is too good to be true, but listen carefully, he is offering to eliminate anxiety. Now that just sounds like a good deal to me. He says, stop being anxious, stop worrying, and stop being afraid. Now let's write this on our handout. There are two realms in which we can worry. The first one is the physical realm, or I could call it the worldly realm. And then the second one would be the spiritual realm. Now let's go to verse 22, because Jesus is going to speak to that physical worldly realm first. And this is what he says. He says, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Now, that isn't hard to understand, but we need to understand the context of this verse. Because when you study your Bible, context is always the king. And so we need to see the verses that are surrounding this or that come before him. This. So Jesus is speaking to a group of his disciples, and this group would have included his 12 apostles, and we know they believed in Jesus, right? But there were others who were also believing in him, and then there were those who were trying to decide what they really believed about him. They were giving him a chance. They were curious about him. And mainly, they were drawn to him because he did miracles. And so the miracle would happen, people, crowds, throngs, thousands would come. And then they would hear him speak. And they had to decide who he was. And so some in the group were still deciding. And he's explaining to them what life in the kingdom of God looks like. And so he's teaching to this crowd here in verses 12 and in verse 13. which aren't on your handout, there comes an interruption right as he's in the middle of teaching. This happens right before the words I just read to you. And this man comes to him, and he's real upset, and he says to Jesus, "Go tell my brother to give me a portion of my inheritance. He has cheated me, and I want you to straighten him out." Right in the middle of his teaching. And so Jesus gives him an answer, and Jesus tells him a story, a parable. And it's about a rich man, and you know this parable. It's about a rich man who tore down his old barns, and he built bigger barns so that he could keep everything he had for himself. And he was going to eat, drink, and be merry because he had such an abundance of possessions. And in that parable, that man is called a fool. "You fool," Jesus said. "Tonight your life will be required of you." Now here's the point of the parable. Here's the very point. He says, you know that you should lay up treasures in heaven. You should be rich toward God and not selfish. And that is how that story in verse 21 ended. After answering that young man's plea, "Go get my brother all straightened out," with this parable, he picks up with the crowd of people right where he left off in his message. But he's going to connect the two. Now look at verse 22 again. He says, "For this reason," for this very reason, "I've just told you a story. You should be rich toward God. You should be laying up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. For this reason, I say to you, don't worry. Don't worry." Now that's a choice that each one of us has in life. Is it possible, Teresa, for me to be a born-again Christian woman and worry? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Now, either you're going to be selfish, materialistic, keep everything for yourself, or you're going to be a person who has open hands, and you're going to lay up your treasures, not on earth, but in heaven, in the spiritual realm. Now Jesus says, "For this reason, I'm telling you, don't worry." Jesus is saying to us, be rich toward God. Jesus is saying to us, don't be all about building bigger barns for yourself or storing up treasures on heaven, on earth, making yourselves were wealthy, ignoring the needs of the people around you. But what about us, Teresa? I mean, if I really live that way, I mean, if I like how that sounds and everything, but I'm a little nervous about it, who's going to take care of me? I mean, if you look at the world, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's scary. I could be very fearful if I don't build those bigger barns and prepare for myself and take care of myself. I mean, who's going to take care of me? And of course, the answer that the Lord gives here is this: God will take care of you. Don't worry. Now just think about with me. He's the one that feeds the birds, right? He's the one who raises the grass and the flowers in the field. He's the one who knows everything we need. He's the one who offers us the kingdom. Being a part of his family means this: you are coming under the umbrella of his care. Now, go back on your handout and look at verse 21, and let's see how this works. It says there, "Do not worry about your life." Now, what he means by life here is he's talking about your physical life. And he says, he explains it, meaning what you eat and what you wear. So is that on your handout? What you eat and what you wear. So write that down. Now, let's talk about those two things, what you're wearing and what you're eating, because that was big for people in Jesus' day. That was huge. I mean, there were no fast foods. There was not a Walmart. There was no Target, TJ Maxx, Marshall's to go to and buy those darling clothes at that really good price. Eating for them involved a lot of preparation. They had to grow the grain, grind the grain, cook everything from scratch. And then when it came to their clothes, they wove their own fabrics and sewed their own garments. And Jesus tells them, look, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or your body, what you're going to put on. Now go to verse 23. For life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. He's saying you don't just exist for eating and wearing of clothes. You're a higher person. You're not just an animal. You're not the product of evolution. That's not what life is all about. God has a purpose for our lives. And that purpose is to come into his kingdom, to live your life to his glory. It's all about being kingdom women and fulfilling his God-given purposes for our lives. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and God has redeemed you, you're saved, I'm going to tell you, he has a kingdom purpose for you to fulfill. And he's going to give you everything you need in order to fulfill his purposes for your life. He's going to sustain you. You can actually release your life and trust him with your life. And you can be rich towards him. I like that. So let's write this down on our handout first about worry. Worry is a failure to understand that I am here as God's child to fulfill a divine purpose and that he will sustain me till the end. Now, I'm old now, so I can look back. When I was young, I had to believe this by faith, looking forward. But now I'm old and I'm looking back, I can tell you this is true. You older women in here, can you agree with me? Did God sustain you? He has sustained you. And if we had time, we could give so many amazing testimonies of how God has sustained us. But we have a life and we have a body and we have them for the purpose of living to his glory. To be here in our bodies, doing his will. It's all about his will, about fulfilling his plan for our lives. And as long as that plan is operating, he's going to sustain us. He's going to care for us. He has obligated himself to do this. As kingdom women, he's gifted us. He's called us. He's redeemed us. We're in his family. He's given us countless opportunities to witness, to minister, to serve. And he's calling us to be on mission for him and to bring glory to his name. And he obligates himself to take care of us. And it's not about just making sure we survive. He's so rich toward us. And worry is not understanding that, is understanding he promises to sustain you. That's a promise. Now let's write another thing down about worry. Go back to your handout with me. Worry is a failure to understand that if God takes care of the animals who only give him glory in a very limited way, how much more is he going to take care of us? Now that's a wordy statement. But I put every word down because I wanted you to see it with your eyes. I want you to let that into your heart. Go to verse 24. Consider the ravens. Consider the birds. For they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn. And yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Now this is Jesus talking here. And he's given us this great illustration about God's provision just by looking at birds. I love to watch birds, don't you? You see, if God feeds birds that give him glory in only a limited way in his creation, don't you think? Doesn't it just make sense that if you're the crown of his creation, he's going to take care of you? You have a much greater capacity to bring God glory than a bird. Now, this is the way Jewish teachers would teach in Jesus' day. And he's using a technique that teachers used. And it would be an analogy from the lesser to the greater to make a point. Look at the lesser, the birds. Now look at the greater, your life. And there were birds everywhere in this part of the world. In fact, there are more birds in Israel than any other place on the planet. And probably as he's standing there teaching that day, he's pointing to birds. Just consider the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap like you have to do. You have to plow and plant and harvest, and they don't do any of that. They don't have a storeroom, they don't have a barn. They are totally dependent on God to feed them. Now, that doesn't mean the birds don't work, right? Have you ever seen a bird lying down taking a nap in the middle of the day? I haven't. Birds are in constant motion all the time. Jesus isn't saying, now, you don't have to work. You don't have to be industrious. That's not what he's saying. We do work, but it is God in his providence that provides for us. Look at the end of verse 24 with these words. Jesus says to them, how much more valuable you are than the birds. If God sees to it, now listen, if God is going to see to it that the birds have everything they need, let's just make a point here. Don't you think God will see to it that you have everything you need? So no need for you to spend your life worrying about whether you're going to have enough. What about when I retire, Teresa? What about my future? God promises to provide for us. Now, these are powerful arguments in these first two points. Life is from God. He gives it. He sustains it. He makes provision for it. Let's write a third thing down about worry. Worry will not lengthen your life. Go to verse 25. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? You know, we don't have the privilege, you and I, to determine how long we're going to live. The Lord determines that. Look at Psalm 139 there on your handout, verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not a one of them. You see, God has a book. He already knows the numbers of our days, right? You can't add a single day to your life. Knowing this can really be liberating, can't it? Worry does not lengthen your life, because the one who has the privilege to determine when we are born also determines when we die. He's sovereign over life and over death. So what do you want to do if you belong to him? You don't want to worry. Why worry? Just take your life, serve him, trust him to provide. He determines exactly how long you will live. What's to worry about? Now, these are rich thoughts that we need to get in our hearts, that we need to know, that we need to think about. You know, and when that temptation to worry comes, you know, I'm going to start rehearsing God's truth to me, to myself, and then I'm not going to worry. Now, truly, these are wonderful truths that we're seeing. And if we can wrap our lives about them and believe them, it's going to help us be kingdom women who can release their lives and live for God by trusting him, by believing him, by not being anxious. Let's go to a fourth statement. Worry is a failure to understand God's preference for you. God's preference for you. Now, we live in a culture that just absolutely embraces, believes, and teaches that evolution is fact. And they say that we're just part of an evolutionary process. We're just animals. And you can just look around at the creation of God, and you see there's a massive gap between everything He created and man. There's a huge gap. And so Jesus is going to give an illustration here. Let's go back to Luke 12, verse 27. He says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will He clothe you, O men of little faith?" And so now Jesus turns from the issue of food and He starts talking about your clothes, what you're going to wear. It's a big thing for women, what we wear. He makes a comparison that shows us His preference for His children. He says, just look at the lilies. Look at them. They're beautiful. They don't work over their beauty. Even Solomon, who, I'm telling you, you just read about him. He was the most, he had the most outrageous clothing than anybody. He was the best dressed man in the history of Israel. Just go to 1 Kings 10 and you'll read about it. He had very lavish clothing, very extravagant, lavish lifestyle, the finest garments. And then he says, just look at the flowers. I mean, I love flowers, don't you? And the flowers just give testimony to the amazing creativity of God. And yet, they're here one day, and they're gone tomorrow. They live, they die, they serve no spiritual purpose other than to give testimony to God as a God of beauty and order and design. And such infinite variety. And here's the point. Don't you understand? God gives preference to His crown of creation, the man and the woman. Don't you understand that? Just look what God does. He has such commitment to the delicate beauty of things that perish sometimes in just a day. Don't you think He's going to take care and clothe you? And once again, we've got this typical Hebrew argument from the lesser to the greater. I mean, you don't think He's going to put that kind of beauty and garment on a flower and then not dress you? Those flowers don't have spiritual value, but you do. You are the bride of His beloved Son. And notice, at the end of verse 28, he says, he mentions this category. He says, "You men of little faith." Well, here's the problem, y'all. You see, fear, worry, and anxiety, it comes because you have a, hate to say it, but you have a lack of faith. You're just not believing God. Why are you anxious? What are you afraid of? Why do you panic? You have the rich promises of God. Believe them. Believe them. If you understand His power, then it all boils down to this question. Do I really trust God with my life? You see. Do I believe what Jesus is saying right here in this sermon at the end of His ministry, a repeat of what He said at the very beginning of His ministry and then all through His ministry? The real truth is, what you're dealing with here, if you're fearful, anxious, is anxiety, is unbelief. And that is really a sin problem. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. We really can trust God. I'm telling you this morning, you can take His promises and embrace them and put Him to the test with His promises. He does not go back on His word. And I'll say to you this morning, either His word is true or His word is not true. But I'm telling you it's true. Every word is true. You can trust Him. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He is full of compassion. And He is full of tender mercy. What is it about Him that you do not trust? Now notice, He is not saying these people don't have any faith. What does He call them? He says men of, what's the word? Little faith. Do you want to be a woman of little faith? No. We want to be women of what? Huge faith. Right? I want you to circle that word little there. They are the ones who are believing in Him. They're listening to Him. The problem is they just have little faith. And He's saying here, to worry, to be afraid is a problem of not trusting in Him. And that is really a very serious problem, girls. Because it will put a stranglehold in your life on spiritual productivity, and it will rob you of so, so much. Now, let me just say something right now. I'm just saying Jesus is worthy this morning. He's worthy of your trust. He's worthy. He's worthy for you to embrace all that He is. You really can, listen to me, you really can. He's bidding you to come and cast all of your care upon Him. Wow. Now that is something that I can personally say this morning as a testimony. I've been a Christian now for a long, long time. I have never once been disappointed. He really can be trusted. You really can take His promises out of His word and build your life upon them. They are precious, precious promises. And they are for us right now, living here in this day in 2022. So in verse 29, He says, do not seek what you eat, what you drink, and don't keep on worrying. He's saying this is not what you live for. Don't live as if I was not a caring God. Don't live as if I had not given you any promises. Don't live as if I had no power. Don't live as if I didn't understand every part of your situation. And don't keep on worrying. Now here comes the fifth thing about worry. Write it down. Worry is a failure to understand that God is our Father. Now go to verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now circle the word Father there in that verse. And right here, for the first time in His speech, Jesus speaks of God as being a father. Now remember who He's talking to. He's talking to a group of people who are believing in Him. They are going to be the ones who have the right to call Him Father. Now there are actually two families in the world, only two. You either belong in one or the other. Let's write them down. There's the family of God. Either you're a saint or an ain't. And then there's the family of Satan. And if you don't have God as your father, you fall into Satan's family. Look at John 8:44 on your handout. It says there, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Now go back to verse 31. It says those in his family. It says this about them. For all these things, the nations of the world eagerly seeks, and that word eagerly, let's stop and look at that word eagerly. Eagerly. It's a very, very strong verb in the Greek. It means to strongly strive. It means to strongly seek, and that's just how it is in the world. I mean, if you're in the world and you're in Satan's family, you know this. Satan doesn't make promises to you. He doesn't provide benefits for you. He isn't about doing good and blessing in your life. His job description in the Bible is he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. And if you're in his family, I'm just telling you, you're on your own. And basically, the only good coming into your life would be what is called common grace. Like, for example, common grace would be God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. It's just his common grace. But everything is temporary if you're in his family. No unbelieving person has the right to make any claim on God. The unbelieving world has no promise from God other than if they repent, God will forgive them. Other than whosoever will may come, you may come. Other than that, the world has no commitment from God, no guarantees about anything. And so we have a picture here. The nations of the world, they're strongly, eagerly pursuing all of these things. They're trying to get ahead in life. That just describes life among the lost world. It's just a battle for bread. It's a battle for survival. It's a battle to get more toys. It's a battle to get more material things. And they're dead to God, and they're ignorant of God, and they're out there on their own, and they feel the full weight of their survival. But verse 30 says, your father. In contrast to the world's father, your father, listen, he knows. He knows. Look at me. He knows what you need. He is so personal. He cups your face. He knows your needs. It's not, oh gosh, they have all these needs. No, it's your needs. You individually. He knows your needs. Circle that word knows. He knows. Do you ever wonder, oh God, I'm just so overwhelmed right now. Do you ever feel that way? Do you even see me? Do you even know what I need? Do you ever feel that way? And the answer is yes. Yes. If you are his child, he knows, he sees, and he acts as a good father should act. He provides, he protects. And I'm telling you this morning, and I'm teaching you the word of God. This is not my opinion. I'm telling you the promises of God. All that you need is available. Do you believe that? Why are you worried? Why do you worry? Why are you so anxious? What are you afraid of? Teresa, I like what you're saying. I want to tap into that. What do I need to do? How can I have that assurance that I'm going to get all that my Father has for me? Well, look at verse 31. But seek his kingdom and these things will be added unto you. Yes, you have a part. Yeah, you want your provision, your food, your drink, your clothing, a full life, freedom from anxiety, fear. He's saying, well, look, just don't focus on those things. Don't focus on your food, your body, your drink, your health. What are we to focus on, Teresa? Well, the kingdom of God. Yeah, that's it. Focus on him and his kingdom. And if you will focus on the kingdom, if you'll be a kingdom woman, the promise is everything will be added unto you. Could that be true? It's true. It's true. So instead of worrying about your bank account, how long you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all of those things, don't let that be the dominant driving force of your life. But instead, it's the kingdom of God. It's about Him. It's about His gospel. It's about His Christ. I want to focus on that. I want that to be the center of my life. I want to honor Him. I want to glorify Him. I want to obey Him with all of my heart. I want to pursue truth. I want to pursue love. I like how Colossians 3:1 puts it on your handout. Look at it with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you're saved, you're a born-again woman, what are you to do? You are to keep seeking the things above. In other words, quit being so entangled with everything below here in this world. Learn to go up to that level and seek His kingdom. And the promise is, all the other things God's going to add to your life. And let me just say this. He always adds more than you need. He always adds more than you deserve. I look at my own life. God has blessed me beyond. I just can't even. That's what Bill and I have been saying this week. We had our 50th anniversary this week. You know, it just started out with two of us, and now we've got this whole tribe of people. And we're just like, oh, our hearts are so full. God has blessed us beyond what we could have ever imagined. And we have so many God stories of how He provided. It's just amazing. Well, I'm going to stop right here. I want you to fold up your paper and bring it back with you next week, because you are coming back next week, right? Because there's some more good stuff to see. Now, I'm just wondering, did anybody need this lesson this morning? Did you? Did you need to hear these things this morning? It's so easy to get sidetracked into anxiety and worry and fear. And we've got to be about knowing God's word and encouraging each other with God's word. And together, running our race together, seeking to be people that bring God glory. Above all else, we want to get off of the plane of all the mundane needs of the everyday. I mean, we have to operate there somewhat, but we want to live on a different plane, like Colossians says, seeking things that are above. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You for the blessing of Your word. I thank You, Father, for our time together just to consider Your amazing promises that You give us in the Bible. I mean, I just want to say, shut up. This is too good to be true. It's just incredibly rich. I want to be a woman who embraces Your promises, who steps out by faith. I don't want to be in the little faith club. I want to be in the big faith club, who takes You at Your word. I can just see Jesus standing there that day, all of those faces before Him. And here we stand today, and He's still speaking this very sermon, and He's seeing all of our faces. I pray, Father, that we will trust Him, that we will believe Him. I pray that You will take our class and do amazing things, because we're women of great faith. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.